Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales.
Well, we can bounce back to last week here real briefly. It seems like the offense kind of was able to move the ball there in the first half, but just kind of wasn't able to score the touchdowns you guys needed to stay in the game. So just how'd you feel about how the offense functioned last week?
Well, I think our functionality was good. We just didn't take advantage of the red zone trips and didn't do a good job of getting the ball across the line. And, that's... this week has been an emphasis, during practice of what we need to do. We need to be able to execute in those opportunities. So moving forward, that's the plan.
Yeah, and then defensively, it seemed like it was a better showing from you guys, just a few big plays here and there. So just kind of what same question there, what you noticed in your defense?
I thought our defense played well enough to win the ball game, to be honest with you. If we take advantage of the turnovers that we created on defense offensively, then we're going to be in a little bit better situation to bring it down to the wire. But we were excited about getting a takeaway or two or three, and we just need to put all three facets of the game together so that the product looks a little more complete.
Yeah, and then just moving into this week, obviously you guys are 0-10 headed into the last week of the season, so just kind of what does this last opportunity mean to you guys?
Well, every opportunity is the best opportunity and the most important opportunity, so this is the most important opportunity of 2023 fall. We want to go out and make sure that we compete with pride and poise and go out and fight. That's really all I'm asking my young men to do right now. Wins and losses don't come easily. They come through the process. And the process is from start to finish being able to do your job and taking care of the little details.
Yeah, and then it's senior day, obviously, and this senior class has been through a lot. So just kind of what have you noticed from your seniors in your 2 years here?
Well, the young men that were here previous to my arrival, they were starving for some success. The guys that I was able to spend 2 years with that are seniors now, I think they're better men. I think that they understand the direction that the program is going, and I think they'll, even though they won't be here, I think they'll be excited for the future.
Yeah, and then just obviously this will not be an easy one with the Central Missouri team that comes in riding high, and we could go through all the gaudy numbers that they put up. Just what impresses you most about the Central Missouri team?
Offense, defense, and special teams. Yeah, that wasn't a joke. These guys are extremely talented, and in my opinion, the best football team in the conference. It's going to be a tough road to hoe this weekend, but I tell my guys, we had a conversation this week on what our approach needed to be, and we decided that this needs to be the litmus test for us to see what our core is going to be like. Because at this point of the year, we're playing with the core group of guys. We're only losing five seniors. Everybody here, barring transfer portal and all that, will be back for the next year. We need to see what a high-powered offense, a high-powered defense, what that looks like. And I'm not taking anything away from the rest of the MIAA. What I am saying is on our schedule, we save the best for last. And we need to let this be a litmus test of what it takes. How strong do you have to be? How strong are these guys? What is it going to take execute from the execution standpoint? All of these things, the things that we see is a top-notch program coming in here, and we need to be able to emulate that. And it's going to start when that clock hits 4-0s.
Alrighty, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales. And Trevor, we are at the long, long, long final step of a long, long, long season. So let's just reset. Lincoln is now 0-10 on the season. Their 36th straight loss came last week as they lost 38-6 at Nebraska Kearney. We talked going into the game about how maybe that might be a game where, hey, Kearney's not great. You know, they're only 2-7. Well, Kearney's now 3-7 and looked really pretty good last week.
Yeah, I mean, they took care of business, and you can't even say that everything went right for Nebraska Kearney.
No.
They turned the ball over 4 times.
Right.
And they still won by 30 points.
And still had 555 yards of offense, where you go, yeah, imagine if they held on to those balls a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln had some chances to stay in this game. It was 28-6 at halftime. Lincoln had 2 trips inside the 10-yard line, I believe, and both ended with field goals. And so that was a big talking point for Gales this week when we chatted is, those drives have to end in touchdowns when you're that big of an underdog, because if you're kicking field goals, you're never going to stay in games, especially with the numbers that the defense has allowed. So, and they were happy with creating 4 turnovers. That's something they haven't done much this year, but not converting those turnovers into points. And one of those turnovers, they didn't even get the ball because they forced a fumble, recovered the fumble, and then the guy that recovered the fumble, Brian Coley, fumbled it right back before the play was over. So you can really say 3 turnovers because they didn't even get the ball in the fourth.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a better result if you want that as a positive. They didn't.
It is, but again, it's you know, you look at the total offense, and it's only 179 yards of total offense, you know, and it's you look at it and go, okay, well, is there anything good from it? Not really, you know, 84 yards rushing and, you know, 95 yards passing. Neither one of those are good numbers by any stretch of the imagination. So, I guess the less said about that one, the better, except for the fact that we probably don't necessarily want to focus a whole lot on this week either, because, yes, it's the end of the season, and it's, you know, it will be a deserved end of the season when you get to that point. But before you get to that point, you have to deal with the, you know, the nation's 7th ranked team and the Central Missouri Mules.
Yeah, the nation's best offense, arguably. They come in 3rd in Division II and scoring at 49 points per game. They average nearly 600 yards of offense.
Right.
They have the top yardage in the country. They average 584 yards of offense per game.
Right.
It's incredible, honestly, what they've been able to do in year 2.
And again, not to take a shot at Lincoln and let them catch any strays, but that's against teams that are much better than Lincoln. They're already doing that against teams that this is by far their easiest game on their schedule. So if you look at it from that standpoint, they're averaging, you know, almost 50 points and 600 yards against teams that are much better than this. So this has just got I got a bad, bad feeling going in today's noon start at Dwight D. Reed Stadium.
Yeah, UCM scored 77 points against Emporia State.
Right.
Who is a team that's been ranked basically all year.
Right.
It's a very, very good team on the other side today is what Lincoln's going to see, and they know that.
Right.
They know this is about as David versus Goliath as it's ever going to get when it comes to the Lincoln defense against this Central Missouri offense. And they're going to be dealing with possibly the best quarterback in all of Division II, and Zach Zabrowski. I'm just going to rattle off some stats that he has thrown up this year because it's honestly ridiculous. He has 46 touchdown passes in 10 games. Do the math, that's over 4.5 per game. Mm-hmm. He has 3,941 passing yards in 10 games. He's nearly averaging 400 passing yards per game. And he's only thrown 5 interceptions.
That was my question for you, was how many INTs?
He has only thrown 5 picks in the amount of passes. Let's see. He's thrown 486 passes this year and thrown the ball to the other team 5 times.
Right.
It's his first year in the MIAA, and he went through the MIAA and made it look like, I don't even know what to compare. He made it look easy.
Right.
And I don't know what to say to just kind of express how impressive that is from a guy that has never seen the Northwest defense or the Pitt State defense. Their lone loss of the season came to Pitt State in week 3. They lost by 1 point to the number 3 team in the country, and they scored 37 points on a defense that's just dominated everybody they played. So, yeah.
You stole my thunder because I was going to ask, well, if you're looking for bright spots, yes, they have lost once. Could we maybe replicate that? Well, only if you have the number three team at that point in the season in the country at that point can you replicate that. So it's almost like you can't even take some heart from that and go, hey, maybe we can do what that team did that slowed them, because the rest of their scores, I mean, they're just not, it's just not to the point where you go, oh, okay, well, gosh, this is something where, this is, you know, something where you can take heart from this game, or you can take heart from this game. Now, you really can't. So there's just not much heart to take from things where you go, yeah, this is something where, sure, we can go, okay, this was what we could try. I don't know what you could try.
Yeah, they've shown no weaknesses on the offensive side of the football all year. They are prone to give up some yards on defense and some points. Yeah. They give up about 27 points per game. But on the flip side, they've created 24 turnovers this year on defense.
Right.
2.5 turnovers per game on defense. And then you switch that over to an offense that's put up the numbers they have. It's impossible to game plan for.
Right.
They are a team that is going to compete for a while in the playoffs. They're only the fourth seed in the region right now, so they have a lot to play for. It's a motivated group coming into this week.
Right.
There's no way they're going to take this game lightly, especially with it being the last game against Lincoln for the foreseeable future.
Look at you stealing all the stuff that I was going to ask you about. Because, yes, I do feel like that those are two more giant factors going into this game from the standpoint of you go, okay, yes, there has been a tendency, there's always a tendency when a team is leaving a conference to go, you know what? Forget about them. They're leaving us. Let's just put it on them before they leave because they're abandoning us. Whether or not you're hurt about it or not, there's just this tendency to, for teams that leave, you want to beat them bad. I think there is a little bit of that, and I think UCM might be one of the teams that's more likely to do that than some of the other teams in the conference. So there's that bad factor. But yes, this is also one of the goes, yeah, they've done everything that should have gotten them style points to get them in good with voters, and yet they are, yeah, you're right, they're fourth in the regional ranking. So it's like, they need a statement game. Well, this statement could end up being 105-0 if we're not careful.
Yeah, I was going to say it at some point, and I feel bad saying, there's a realistic chance they could score 100.
Yeah.
There's a realistic chance they could score 100 points in this football game.
Yeah.
That's a terrifying thing to say out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, Lincoln is well aware of this, all of this stuff that we have talked about, and I will give Gales a lot of credit. I talked to him about teams running up the scores, because they've seen it a couple times,
right,
you could say, this year. And he was quick to say, I'm not somebody that buys stock in a team's running up a score.
Okay.
That's a me problem, is what he said, not a them problem.
Right.
He said, if I was in the position to put my third string offense in the game, I don't want them going out there and taking knees. I want the third stringers going out there to try and run the offense,
sure,
at the efficiency that the first teamers do, to show that they have the ability to move up a depth chart, or in 2 years when they have to get called upon, that they can do it. So,
right.
I give him credit in the fact that he's not going to take offense,
right,
if that does happen. He,
yeah,
kind of realizes that's a Lincoln problem. That's not a UCM problem.
Right.
So I think it's a pretty realistic chance with all the factors that we said, especially with the fact that they're somehow only fourth in the region.
Yep.
I don't understand that with the resume they put together,
right,
and only losing by 1 point to Pitt State.
So maybe the only thing that you can take heart from is maybe they come in and they go the other direction and go, you know what, we're looking for loftier goals. So we want to try to, you know, go as deep into the playoffs as we can. So we don't need to play our first stringers this week. Heck, we probably don't even need to play our second stringers. So maybe if they come in and just go, okay, number ones, you get a series. Number twos, you get 2-3 series. And number threes, you get the rest of the series.
Treat it like week one of the NFL preseason?
Maybe. and so if they do that, then maybe this one has a tendency, capability of not being completely ugly. But I don't know if that's going to happen either.
And it also is worth noting, and this is going to sound slightly disrespectful, but what is the difference between them winning this game by 50 and winning,
right,
this game by 100 in terms of voting standpoint?
Right.
And with it being against Lincoln, it's a given win for them going,
sure,
in. There's nobody that expects Lincoln to win this game.
Right.
So I don't know how much style points will really play a factor, but it also won't hurt. So I mean, like you mentioned, I don't know necessarily how seriously this game is going to be taken by Central Missouri, but The only positive I can think of is in this situation last year when Emporia State came into town late in the season to face Lincoln.
Right.
Their quarterback, Braden Gleason, competing for national honors with his season, got ruined by a 4-interception performance by Lincoln.
Sure.
So maybe they can do that again. I wouldn't bet on it, but maybe.
So I think we've been doing the News Tribune podcast in a variety of ways for better than a decade now. I don't know exactly how many years it's been. I don't know that in however long it's been, whether it be 10, 11, 12, 13 years, however many it's been, I don't know if we've had a tougher prediction point to go, Trevor, what's going to be the final score of today's game?
I'm just going to go with what I put in the paper. Obviously, I'm picking Central Missouri to win this game, and I put 63-17 in the paper, so that's what I'm going to go with. But I will put it on record. I probably think it gets a little bit more lopsided than that. So I'm going to stick with 63-17, though.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.